I dream of a city called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, oh,
to the Son of God. Glory to
the pale horse rider, and the world turned over to the devil. You don't want to miss this. The pale horse rider, and the world turned over to the devil. I'll be right back. Call a friend.
Of that city.
What a day.
Oh, the scenes
too numerous to
fail. Too many to tell. I saw Abraham.
You know, I can hardly wait to be there. That's going to be a day indescribable. I want you to be there, too. I mean, it's going to be a day indescribable. And you can expect it if you live it. Hallelujah. If Jesus is the Lord, the Savior, and Lord of your life. Now, today, we're on the fourth of four horsemen in Revelation chapter 6. It's the beginning of the tribulation period. Absolutely the beginning of the tribulation period. There was first the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and now the pale horse. Now, I believe we can document that this pale horse represents the world completely turned over to the devil. The world completely turned over to the devil. And you may say, well, what does that mean? Well, the devil has always operated on lease. The devil has always been restrained. The devil has never been able to do everything he wants to do. In fact, he's never been able to do the majority of the things he wants to do. But for 7 years, the devil will do what he wants to do. For 7 years, he'll be turned loose. The restrainer will be out of here. I said the restrainer will be out of here, and the devil will be turned loose. You are talking about a world of insanity. a world of utter insanity. Now, we're going to talk about some things today, like the blindness of spiritual blindness that controls our world. Our world is under a spiritual blindness that I do not understand. It's almost incomprehensible. It really is how men and women who know the Bible, who have the Bible, who have all the privileges of Christianity, they know so little about what is going on. It is a blind world. Now, if you do not see the apostasy of our day, if you do not see the apostasy that's gripped the church world, then you're in trouble. You are so in trouble because already blindness has overwhelmed you and you don't even know what's going on. Now, Satan is still bound to a great degree. You must understand that. Today, he is still bound to a great degree, but not for long. The Holy Spirit, who is the restrainer, will be out of here, and then hell will be turned loose. Now, right now, you'll find this is true almost everywhere. The world denies the devil actually exists. And if they don't deny it, they pay it no attention. They have no understanding of it. They give it no description. It is a blind world as far as the devil is concerned. And the devil loves to operate incognito. He wants to be here like a cockroach. He runs for the corner and for the darkness when the light is turned on. He hates somebody like me that exposes what a devil he is, what a lying, thieving devil he really is. Now, very few Christians today have any concept of the devil. They have almost no understanding of what he does. They don't understand his many different methods, his many different attacks. I mean, they just don't understand it. And I pray we can talk about it today. Now, the Bible says, make no place for the devil. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. Now, listen. Hear me real carefully. God restrains the devil according to his infinite wisdom and his fatherhood, his sovereignty. But God also allows a certain amount of liberty to the devil for people who do not themselves restrain the devil. When the Bible says make no place for the devil, then God is warning you that if you make a place for him, he'll take over. And he'll do great damage to your life. So make no place for the devil. I beg of you, make no place for the devil. Now, the last thing I want to mention here in these thoughts to just kindly introduce this program is the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you understand how important Calvary is today? There's never been a day when Calvary was so important as it is today. There is no victory over the devil but by the blood. There is no victory over the devil but by the blood. You've got to understand that. That alone is your victory, is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I know we're on the air. I've already got word of that. Everything's going good. We're on the internet. You're hearing that. We're going to give you an invitation today to ask questions and to help me help everybody out there understand the devil and understand what he does and how he operates and that you must not make any place for him. If you lie, you cheat, you steal, you drink, you smoke, you cuss, you fornicate, you just open the door. What you're doing is you're swinging a double door open of the devil into your life. And if you don't think he's going to walk in and start doing his damage, you just give him one opportunity and there he is, tearing your life apart. Now, so important that you understand these kind of things. And I want you to understand now, as the tribulation period begins, as soon as that rapture has occurred, as soon as Jesus comes and gets the saints of God and we're gone to heaven, he's turning this world over to old Lucifer, the devil and his antichrist and his false prophet and demons innumerable. And you talk about a world that's going to be a hellish place. This world is going to be a hellish place. There's no way to describe the situation as it really will exist. I do my best to describe it, but I just know in part, and I don't know in whole. And I can tell you, things will happen that I have no ability to describe. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." That's an angel saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Notice that. His name was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, I'm telling you, friend, this day is upon us. It is so near. All we got to have to happen is the sounding of the trumpet. Just as soon as Jesus is here, all hell will come on this earth. No ifs and ands. All hell will come on this earth. Now, you got to understand this. You got to get this in your head, and you got to get ready. Now, there's two things you need to do. One, you got to defeat the devil in your life now. And you can't do that but by the blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're not under the Word of God, if you're not living in the Holy Scripture, if you do not trust in the blood alone, if you're not allowing your life to be filled with the Spirit and to be under the power of the Holy Spirit, possessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be a sitting duck, and great, great sorrow is going to come upon your life. Look at what you're doing to your children when you don't explain to them and show to them what the devil is about to do in our world. What are you doing to your children? Why would you let them be so ignorant of what's coming down the pipes with this day and hour being as it is? I beg of you to teach your children. I beg of you to learn the truth and get yourself ready. Now, what you got to learn is right now, if you don't resist the devil, he's going to have you so blind and so completely under satanic control. And most Christians don't know the great apostasy is here because they're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. And he's going to spew Jesus. He's going to spew them out of his mouth. If you've been told that all Christians are going in the rapture, regardless of how they live, regardless of how careless they are, regardless of how backslid they walk and live, how they have no spiritual life, they have no oil in their vessel, they're like those five foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Five foolish virgins. They were virgins, but they had no oil in their lamp. And so when Jesus came, they were left. Isn't that terrible to even think about? But it's going to happen. And there's a multitude out there who've been told by preachers, it don't matter how you live, if you've ever been saved, you're still saved, and you're going to go in the rapture, and you're not going to be here, and suddenly going to wake up and find out that preacher lied to them. He gave them baloney theology instead of Bible theology. And our world is full of baloney theology. I don't know whether you know that or not. But preachers who don't stay on their face and walk with God, many of them never been born again, certainly aren't living a Holy Ghost-filled life. They spend more time on the golf course than they spend in their Bible. And they wonder why there's no power in their preaching, why it's nothing but rhetoric and entertainment and no move of the Spirit upon their life. My dear friend, listen to me. The time is almost over. The time is almost over, and you must get yourself ready. You really must get yourself ready. So I beg of you, a number to call today, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. That's a toll-free number anywhere in America and Canada. I don't know where else it might work, but I know it works for America and Canada. 1-800-338-7884. And then right here in the Charlotte area, anywhere around us, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And now the email. Remember, you can email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@pawcreek.org. PaulCreek.org. Want to hear from you? Want your questions? I want to do my best to be a blessing to you. So grab your phone and let us hear from you. We want to hear from you. We really do. We want you involved with us today. I hope our phones are working right. We get a new system on Tuesday. I hope to get it in this week, but they didn't make it. They was afraid of trying to do it yesterday and maybe not have it all just right and hinder this program. They didn't know the way our system is operating right now after the storm moved in on it. It may or it may not operate. You just keep calling, okay? 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. Now, I want a lot of questions today. I really want you to get this subject. I really want you to get this subject. That the very fact that the devil will be turned loose over on this world, that the world will be turned over to him. The world will be turned over to him. That's an overwhelming thought. And if you ever get it, I promise you, if you get that thought and you understand it, it's going to make you go to your Bible. It's going to get you on your knees getting ready to be out of here. Do you want to be in this world when the devil has complete control? He runs the government. He'll run the court system. He'll run the public education system. He'll be in charge of all the media. He'll be in charge of everything. This total world system will be under the devil and the Antichrist. The total world system will be under the devil and the Antichrist. Are you getting that message? You hear me bumping. I'm trying to thump my fist on this desk because I want to get your attention. I want you to understand, friend, it really is later than you could possibly imagine. It is right at the door, and Jesus is coming. Oh, here's a question from Jessica. If the devil knows the scripture, then the devil knows how events turn out in Revelation. So wouldn't you think the devil would try and change his approach to at least cause more trouble, if not change the final outcome? Well, that's a good question, Jessica. Where did you come up with that? So wouldn't you think the devil would try and change his approach to at least cause more trouble? Well, the devil is a smart dude, but he's not all smart. He does have to operate by the scripture, so he can't violate the Bible. But I can tell you, nobody knows all the tricks he'll try. And so I can agree that there'll be all kinds of tricks and all kinds of deception. That's already true. The Bible says that we are to put on the full armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, that word wiles means all kinds of tricks, all kinds of efforts, all kinds of ways of trying. The devil will always try something new on you every chance he gets. And so he will certainly do that in the tribulation period. Good question, really. The many things the devil will do to try to change the outcome, the Bible says he will come down with great wrath, knowing that he hath a short season. So he will know that he only has a short time, and he will do everything he can to extend that time, to take advantage of every opportunity, to turn every trick he can turn. Yes, yes, I agree with you, little lady. It will be an unreal day. It will be. You can't deny that the devil is brilliant. Here's another email now. You can't deny that the devil is brilliant. Look at how he has got the world thinking that sin is good and the righteous living is bigoted and bad. Well, boy, I sure agree with that. The devil has got this world in such delusion and under such a cloud of misunderstanding. Most people don't even think the devil exists. They look at you and almost laugh at you when you try to tell them about the devil, because the devil has really been very slick in fooling people and blinding people and keeping them from really knowing and understanding the truth. I agree with that. He is a liar, and he is a stricter. He is devious. That's good enough. He is devious because he is the devil, and he will come and do many, many different things to try to harm you. Now, you can't deny, you really can't deny, the devil was one of the smartest of God's angels. angels. But you see, the devil is also a liar, and the devil always overreaches his boundaries. Now, that's in the present. Now, in the future, can he overreach his boundaries? Probably not, because he will do everything he can to destroy. Here's another. If the devil knows the scripture, then the devil knows how events turn out in the Revelation. Well, did I not just read that? So wouldn't you think the devil would try and change his approach, or at least change or cause more trouble, if not change the final outcome? Well, I thought I read that from, I read the wrong one. I thought it was Jessica and it was Allen. I'm sorry for that. The seven seals that are opened and bring judgment upon the earth during tribulation is God's judgment upon the earth. So what will Satan be doing during this time? Well, Satan will be doing all kinds of things that you read throughout the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 9 when his demons come up out of hell. There are many things that the devil will do. He'll be killing every Christian on the face of this earth. You get right with God, he's going to kill you. He's going to destroy you. He is really going to do some evil and terrible and dark things. And thank you, Jessica. Sorry I got the wrong one on you there. But that's okay. They're both good. And as we learn, it will really make us understand better what's happening. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Daniel 7:25 is talking about the Antichrist. It says he'll speak great words against God and he'll wear out the saints of God. And it says he'll think to change time and law. What do you think those times and laws are?
Hey, that's a good scripture, and that goes right along with what just was asked by an email. You know, the devil will think to change laws and time. That means he'll try to extend his 7 years. It means every law that men understand, every natural thing of our world, every natural phenomenon in our world, he will try to change. Everything will be turned on his head, I think is what the devil is actually, what the Bible is actually saying. The devil will turn the world on his head. The devil will turn principles and laws and time and thinking. He'll turn everything on its head because the devil is going to have free reign. As I just said a while ago, it all shows that the devil will have free reign. He will be uninhibited, and he will do some dark things. Anything else?
When I look at our Supreme Court and even all the state courts and see them overturning these homosexual marriage laws, that's kind of a precursor to him changing them.
You're exactly right. That's a good statement. I mean, I've been watching this and trying to figure out even the governor who just had to, well, didn't have to, but she did veto a good bill from her own state senators and representatives because she was afraid of the end result of what the homosexuals would do and what businesses would do, what the economic system would do to penalize them for taking and making this stand on a moral principle. I mean, the world is scared. The politicians, we blame the politicians, and we should, but they're dealing with the same thing we human beings down here on the lower level are dealing with, and it's a scary thing. I'm a pastor. I'm a man of this book. I don't compromise one word of it under no circumstance. It doesn't matter. I preached at a funeral yesterday in Danville, Virginia, to a big crowd of people in this beautiful chapel of the town's funeral home right on Main Street of Danville. I got up there and laid it on the line. And the Holy Spirit anointed me. It was so beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in a dark day. And it takes some backbone to stand up. Preachers are so without any backbone in our pulpits. They're scared to death to tell the truth.
I live in the state of Virginia, and we elected a new attorney general. And the first thing that he did, his first act, was to seek to overturn, which he has, the law of banning homosexual marriage in Virginia.
So he now they allow it.
Yes. Well, he took it to court, and he's wanting to declare it unconstitutional.
Isn't that pitiful? A good state like Virginia, yes. And you've had some good people, and the man who lost the governor's race, that was just uncalled for, and breaks your heart. But we live in a day even the best of the politicians seem to be unable to do anything of great value.
Yes, you can really see, like I said, the precursor to the Antichrist. You can see these laws already changing to calling evil good, good evil.
That's a good point, really is. Well, we are living in the day when nothing is going to stand that's morally strong, morally right. I mean, the day will be soon when it will be the honorable thing to be married in a same-sex relationship, and it will be dishonored to be married to a man or a woman, a man and his wife. I mean, it will be hated by the new culture, and that's another thing that means when it says to think to change laws. Everything that's right will be wrong, and everything that's wrong will be right during the tribulation period.
Thank you, Reverend Sam.
Thank you. God bless your heart. Now, friend, we are living in a dark hour. We really are. And if you don't understand this, I'm trying my best to get you to understand it and trying to open up your heart. Now, grab a phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And here's what I want to give you today. I want to give you a copy of this broadcast. It will be on a CD. And I want to give you a copy of this broadcast. This broadcast is one of the most important ones that I could possibly give you. You've got to understand this world is going to be turned over to the devil. This world is going to be turned over to the devil. And you've got to understand that. You got to get that to your neighbors and to your family members. Everybody out there who has children or grandchildren, you probably can't get them to listen to this program, but you can take them a CD. And let them, beg them to listen, and maybe they'll hear a little bit, and just maybe the Holy Spirit will get a hold of them. I'm claiming an anointing of the Holy Ghost on this broadcast today that makes it penetrate right through into the hearts of many men and many women. I claim that right now in Jesus' name. And I hope you'll lay your hand on the internet or the radio and claim it with me. We are limited, but the Holy Spirit is unlimited. And until the rapture, there's still a mighty restrainer. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he's restraining the enemy to a degree. Understand, to a degree. God will not restrain the devil from doing damage in your life if you won't restrain him. If you're going to live in sin, you open yourself up to the devil, and God's not going to stop that. You got to understand that. He may try you. He may do all kinds of things to chasten you. The Bible gives us many pictures of that. But friend, we are right on the verge of his coming. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I got a question, then I'm going to hang up so I can listen.
No, you have to listen, okay? I want to talk to you on the radio. I always ask my callers to stay right there in case they have a follow-up question.
Oh, okay. When you says that he'll overcome the saints, what does that mean? If the rapture's taking place, the saints are gone, how do you overcome the saints?
Well, have you not read in Revelation chapter 6 how the multitudes of people who missed the rapture start getting saved? And all these lukewarm people in our churches that all they do is warm a bench, that are not ready for the rapture. See, to go in the rapture, you got to be living a godly life. You got to be living a surrendered life. Most of the church world, even those who have been saved, are cold and lukewarm and indifferent, and they're not going to go in the rapture. Go to Revelation chapter 3 and look at the Laodiceans. The Bible says you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. You understand what that means, don't you?
Yeah, he'd separate himself from you.
That's exactly right. Much of the church world is going to be spewed into the tribulation. Many good people who live a moral life but have no spiritual life, have no spiritual power. They long ago left the fire of the Spirit. They long ago quit praying and having old-fashioned prayer meetings, and they quit reading their Bible until the Holy Spirit would come down and saturate their soul with joy. And they just live in a half-hearted, haphazard life. Maybe they're completely backslid. I won't decide that. I can't decide that. But at least they're so indifferent and so cold, they can't go in the rapture. And those people, by the millions, are going to repent. They're going to get right with God, and the devil is going to make mincemeat out of them. He's going to kill them one by one, every one of them.
Now, when would the lukewarm saints you're talking about that wasn't ready when the rapture come, when did they meet the Lord? How did they connect?
Well, those who are saved during the first 3.5 years will go up in the tribulation rapture in Revelation chapter 7. See, people they forget that there's more than one catching away in the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 7 of Revelation, or I'll read it to you. Now listen, very, very important. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, verse 9 of Revelation 7, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, having white robes and palms in their hands. Now, that verse 9 of Revelation 7 is the rapture of the tribulation saints. Now, you go back to chapter 4, verse 1, and you have the rapture of the bride, the godly, the holy, the ready crowd. So you got those that are ready in chapter 4. That's the pre-trib rapture that we preach about and love. But then in Revelation 7, you got a bunch of folks who messed around and didn't pray and lost their joy. And the church was full of them. I'm a Pentecostal. I remember when Pentecostal people was on fire, brother. You go to a good Pentecostal church and it'd be church. It'd be spiritual. Now our churches are as dead as anybody else's. And the people have dried up and lost their fire, and they're not ready for the rapture.
Now, are they saved if they miss the rapture? Would you call them?
There'll be a multitude of saved people who miss the rapture. You see, again, well, I pull my thing out of the, I can't hear you, but just hang on, I'll be right back. Here I am. You go to right to Revelation, Revelation 3, let me read it to you, so that it isn't just my opinion. Revelation 3, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, if they're neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, a lukewarm Christian is a lukewarm Christian. You can't call them anything but a Christian, but they're lukewarm. They have no fire, and he's going to spew them into the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's Revelation 3, verses 17 and 18.
Okay, that's all that.
I'm sorry, verses 15 and 16.
But you said they're saved, they just don't want to rapture.
They're saved, but they don't have no fire. They're lukewarm. Don't you remember the 23rd chapter of Matthew, 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise had oil in their vessel, and the door was open for the marriage supper. It calls it the marriage supper. And those 5 wise virgins full of oil, that's the Holy Spirit, went in to the supper. But the 5 foolish went and got oil. They went and got oil and came back with oil, but it was too late, see? So they are the picture of the people who missed the rapture, but they're saved.
Okay, thank you.
Now, see, most of the church world don't preach this. You know that, don't you?
Right, I'm learning, so I'll see.
Yeah, I guarantee you, not much of the church world preaches the truth because it's unpopular. Man, you get in a pulpit and preach this, and they'll quit paying you. They'll run you out of town. I mean, most churches, not all of them, but most of them. I mean, what if you get in a big, take any big church you want to in Charlotte, North Carolina. Any one of them, I don't care what the name is, and I'm not going to name any of them. You put that pulpit, that preacher in the pulpit Sunday full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and he lays it on the line. He preaches Matthew 25 and Revelation chapter 3, just like I just read to you, and tells them folks that are living haphazard and half-hearted, and they're still smoking and cussing and fornicating and doing all kinds of things, that they're not going to go in that rapture. And I guarantee you, half of them won't be back next Sunday.
Well, one thing I guess I'm not sure to understand. I'm not sure you could call them Christians.
Well, you know, all right. Let me read you something else. I mean, I want to prove to you everything I teach and preach about this Bible. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter three, and let me read it to you. All right, chapter 3 of Revelation. Let me make sure I find the right scripture here. All right, let's go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's works abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, there's a picture of people who lose all their reward. They can't go in the rapture. They've lost their reward. But they will be saved, but no reward. So they'll have to be saved during the tribulation. They'll have to be cleansed, I should say, and made ready during the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you got loads of scripture like that. I mean, loads of them. Full of all through the Bible showing that people haphazardly living the Christian life are not ready to meet the Lord. The Bible tells the story of people saying, Lord, you preached in my streets. I performed miracles. Don't you know who I am? He said, depart from me. And they miss going in. I mean, you got pictures of that in the Bible on numerous occasions.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, you can. They're good questions.
What you quoted out of that just now was good, and you're correct, that is works. But the Bible says we know a tree by its fruit. We're not talking about works of or the byproduct of righteousness, but fruit is the fruit of the Spirit when a man walks in Christ.
What you're right. There's a difference in fruit and works, and there's many times when they kind of blend together. Because if you live a godly life, that in itself, the Bible says you are light to the world, and they look at you and they see God in you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have to be very careful in dividing them and make sure you don't do so radically.
Well, you're right. I think it's in Proverbs 11:30. The last verse, it says that the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. So when you have righteousness, and I'm taking God to live, and I agree with you on that.
Well, when you are on fire for God and you're living in the righteousness of Christ, you're obeying him and doing his will, you're going to go in the rapture, brother.
Right. Now, answer this, and I'll let you go. If a person is not living a godly life and an unsanctified life, and we say the Christians, but in Galatians, when it says they practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God.
There is a very fine line that nobody can draw but God between the person who is altogether backslid and the person who is just simply lukewarm and indifferent, but they live a clean life. They're still a virgin. They still live a clean life, but there's no devotion, there's no dedication, there's no fire in the furnace. They're just there. But they're good. You couldn't put your finger on their life, but they have no fire. They have no prayer life. They have no devotion to the Scripture. You can't say they're not a Christian, but you can say they're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and therefore he's going to spew them out of his mouth.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking your time and asking this.
I am delighted because this is important, and I want the audience out there to quit playing games and get on fire for God. And you say, Brother Chambers, what if you're wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, I'm sure not going to miss heaven by being on fire for God. But if you're wrong by being careless and casual and like a daisy and indifferent and live good, but you have no devotion, you'll go to church on Sunday morning only for preaching. You won't get there in time for Sunday school. You won't be back on Sunday night. You certainly won't come Wednesday night. You don't have time to really have an old-fashioned prayer life, but you're a good, decent person. You would never lie. You wouldn't fornicate. You wouldn't do ugly things like that. There's going to be a multitude of them kind of people who are going to miss the rapture.
Okay, I think I'm pretty well divided what you said there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I love you, brother. The coming of the Lord's at the door. You know that, don't you?
You're right about
it. Hang on. I want to give you the gift for today. I want to send you a copy of this very broadcast, and you'll hear your own self on it, okay? So stay right there, ladies, line one, ladies, line one. Listen. Folks, we're living on the verge of his coming. Did you understand that? I mean, you can tell I don't preach for money. I don't preach for profit. I preach for the glory of God and Christ. Now, I do need your help. I mean, we've got a new phone system going in Tuesday. This one, I'm amazed it's worked so far. I thank God it is. A new one's coming. It'll be in Tuesday, Lord willing. I've had a little help from people in radio land and from our congregation have been wonderful to help, but we still haven't raised all that money, and we need to hear from you. We've got to buy a lot of other things for the need of this this radio broadcast, and it takes money. It does. And so I need to hear from every one of you who love the truth, and you need to become a partner with me, okay? I would love to have you as a partner. Let me tell you what the gift is again. It's the CD of today's broadcast, so you can give it to people to listen to. You can take it and make more copies if you would like. I promise you, I want to bless you so much. I want you to get this out to everybody. If you want to buy a dozen from us, I'll give you one. You can buy the other 11 and pass them around. I mean, give them out as freely as you can, and let's get people understanding what it's going to take to go in that rapture. Now, I'm not one of those baloney theologians, okay? I've heard so much of this baloney theology, it's overwhelming to me. I mean, just every old easy thing you can imagine. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me, and there's a cross for you. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Let me get here and see what else I've got on the docket. Here we are. I'm trying to answer every question. I don't want nobody to be missed. Please read Psalms 91:14. Our choosing to love God in His name, He will deliver us. The enemy comes to offer other loves, but we have no desire for them. Let me read that for this dear lady in Psalms 91. Let me hurry. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, okay? 1-800-338-7884. Remember, the local number is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Listen to that. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Beautiful scripture. It's a joy to love the Lord. It's a joy to obey God. Genesis 3:1 shows the exact way Satan operates. Hath God said? That's what the devil is always saying. Hath God said? He wants to change the Word of God. He wants to change the Word of God. I just sent out an article this week. It didn't get to many people. We're having trouble with our email, but it'll be there in a few days. We'll get it fixed. I promise that. And showed people how a Jesuit priest, a Catholic Jesuit priest, helped put together the background of the NIV Bible. Now, that article will take your breath away. Hey, if you'd like to have that article, you can have that, okay, too, along with this CD. You call if you'd like the article. The name of it is Apostasy, a Jesuit Priest, and the NIV Bible. Apostasy, a Jesuit Priest, and the NIV Bible. You call if you want a copy of that, and we'll be glad to send you a copy by mail. You send me an email, and I'll email it to you, okay? And that'll be even simpler for those who are listening by the web. Okay? Now, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. That's 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. And then again, email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want to hear from many more of you, okay? All over the radio audience, all over the internet field. Grab your phone or grab your email. I want to hear from you. I think one thing that's wrong with Christians now is that they think they can live however they please and then ask God to forgive them later. They are purposely sinning, knowing it's against what God has said and commanded, and they think it's okay. What will God do with these people who are living like this? Well, they're not saved, so they're lost. You can't live in sin and be saved. The Bible makes that very, very plain. All you got to do is go to Romans 6, and you'll see absolutely what God says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Isn't that powerful? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, local number 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And let me have your question by email or your question by phone. Grab your phone quickly. The lines, we have some that are open. So grab your phone. Pastor, your article on Martin. Hey, what is this? I can't see that. Your article, something about homosexual. The chairman of the NIV, yes, your article about homosexuality and the chairman of the NIV Old Testament Translators and lesbian Virginia Mollenkopf, this would be enough to throw the NIV out the door. You're right, dear lady. You really are. This article that we just sent out, and I'll send to you, about apostasy, a Jesuit priest, and his name, I don't have it here in front of me, who was the chairman of the Greek Testament, the Greek New Testament, that was the background of the NIV Bible, part of the translation committee. I mean, it's enough to blow your mind what these people have done. It really is. They are determined to steal your Bible from you, because they know. I mean, if you got the Word of God, you're going to have the victory. If you got the Word of God, folks, you're going to have the victory. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't have a chance. I mean, we stand by the Word. All right, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Pastor Chambers here, I care about you. I really do. Let me reach out to all of you as I wait for other calls and other telephone lines. They're all coming in every direction. I'm grateful for that. We want you to be part of this. You're on the air. May I help you, please? You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right. I must have picked up a call. I wasn't supposed to. Call back, dear friend. I picked it up accidentally, so you called back. I do that sometimes. I do that just to let you know that Brother Chambers is not perfect. Did you know that? You already knew that, didn't you? Well, if you don't believe it and you don't know it, you ask my wife. She'll let you know. But I belong to Christ. Everything about me belongs to Jesus. Now grab a phone. Call quickly. Ladies, help me with these phones that are ringing off the hook. And everybody that calls, don't hold my ladies up, because they need to be able to go from phone to phone. I mean, they're busy. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, I want to get it through to your head. I'm telling you now, we're going to be on camera shortly. I really believe that. It's been some difficulty, because the devil don't like the thought of Joe Chambers being all over this world on camera, on the internet. I mean, worldwide, on the camera, on the internet. That'll make it so much more personal, so much more personable. I can hardly wait. I'm excited. I believe the Lord will give us more good partners that will help us extend and grow this ministry until we can have a Holy Ghost revival in this crazy world of ours. I am hungry for a Holy Ghost revival. I am hungry for a Holy Ghost revival. Now, I have time for some more calls and don't want to miss them. Let me tell you what I'm going to preach Sunday. I got to tell you what I'm going to preach tomorrow. Lord willing. That's always if the Lord willing. Sometimes he just plain changes my mind, and that's okay with me. He can do anything he wants to do. I want his will done. That's what counts for me. But I'm planning to preach tomorrow on Calvary overshadowing Adam's generation. I'm going to show you in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, 10 generations. I'm going to show you the message of Calvary, the cross, that overshadows Adam's generation. I mean, I'm excited about this. I'm going to do a series from the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, trying to show everybody how powerful and overarching the cross is over everything in the Bible. Everything in the Bible. You on the air, may I help you, please? You on the air, may I help you, my friend?
Good morning, this is Kathy.
Hey.
My name is Kathy from Moving.
All right, Kathy. Ask me your question, Kathy. Can you go ahead quickly now?
Okay.
Hey, you got to go ahead, dear Kathy. Bless your sweetheart. Kathy, I guess I scared her to death. Kathy, I don't want to scare you. I want to hear your question. Are you there? Oh, gracious. I'm sorry. Call back, Kathy. The ladies will help you. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. I think it was just too much. And you see, when I come on the air, you've got to speak out, or it's just dead silence all over the radio audience and the internet audience. And I don't want dead silence. I want every minute to count, okay? Every minute. So call quickly whoever I can answer a question for or help you. And if you're not saved, let me beg of you to get right with God. Can I do that? I beg of you to get right with God. I'm going to come back in a moment. We're going to pray for the saving grace of God to reach all over this radio and internet audience. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Reverend Chambers, I have a question.
All right. I will cut your radio down. I'm hearing me twice, so cut your radio down, and I would love to answer your question. Go ahead now.
I wanted to ask you, if I wanted to join your church, would I have to give up wearing pants?
Listen, lady, I'm not going to discuss that with you today. You just come over here and get saved, and we'll be a blessing to you the best we know how.
Thank you.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have you in church tomorrow, and you wear whatever you normally wear when you come to visit us, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, hey, that's amazing. Wouldn't that subject really fit in with today's program? I don't think it would, but I think she's a dear lady, and she meant it sincerely, and I pray she'll be here, and I promise you love will meet you at the door. Love will meet you at the door. We don't try to meet people at the door and say, well, are you living like we believe in living? You know, I believe you got to go to church and hear the word of God and listen to the Holy Spirit and get into the Bible. And the Lord will show you how to live. I mean, he'll lead you right down the path of righteousness and holiness and beauty. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful life when Jesus is the center of your life. There is nothing in the world like living a Christ-centered life. Now, I've got time, a couple more questions. Don't just sit out there and listen now. I need to hear from you. I don't want anybody to miss what God is saying. Here's a question. Does the devil still go before God and ask to sift souls just like he did with Job and Peter? Yes, he does. Now, that's a good question. That is a good question. Does the devil still go before God and try to sift his way around with God and against the Christians and try to hinder them? I will show you in your book of Revelation when that kind of truth ends, and no longer he can do that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and I'm going to try to find that verse quickly. And it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And that's the old devil fighting against that which is right before God. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, verse 10, Revelation 12, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So this is when it ends in the tribulation period. The devil is cast out of heaven, and he can never appear before God again. He can still appear before God and come against the believer. That's why some of the days it happen, your world seems to turn upside down. And the devil comes against you like a storm. And you say, what in the world is happening? Well, I can tell you in some cases, it's because the devil has been accusing you before the Father. And the Father says to the devil, all right, I'll give you a little break with them. Here's the limits. You can't go over my limit. But I'll give you a chance to prove them and to show me that they won't turn to you even though you do this thing. And so the devil then comes against people. That happens often in our world. If you're a real Christian, the devil is going to try you. The devil is going to try to defeat you. The devil is going to try to destroy you. Now, that's the limit. that the devil is under right now. He can go before God. He can get some leeway with you, but there's a limitation. He can't defeat you. The Bible says God will suffer you, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, but will with each temptation also make a way for you to escape. So, yes, the devil has certain rights. He does tempt. He does accuse you to God. He can come and accuse you to yourself or to your neighbor. I mean, there's a lot of accusations that the devil is doing when people are fighting with one another and don't have enough understanding and know that all that they're facing is nothing but the devil accusing somebody to you. He'll accuse your best friend to you. He'll accuse your wife or your husband to you. He'll try every trick in the trade. I mean, he is brilliant, but he's a deceived, brilliant creature, and he's limited, and God is in charge. Well, what a understanding. But listen, I say again, now, as I started the program, the devil, during the seven-year tribulation period, the devil will literally have the world turned over to him. Excuse me. The world will be turned over to the devil, and there'll be no limitations. There'll be no limitations except that contained in the Holy Scripture for that period of time. Now, you're talking about a dark day for him. You're talking about a day unreal. I don't know how to describe it, but to tell you, the world will be turned over to Satan. And Satan will make mincemeat out of multitudes. And people will be so deceived and so destroyed. And every believer that turns to Christ, it appears. And I say this with trepidation, because the Bible certainly seems to suggest it, that every person who repents and gets right with God during the tribulation period will have to die. They'll have to at least be willing to die, but I believe they will have to die during that dark period. So we're talking about a day unlike anything you have ever experienced. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. I noticed one of my lines was not answered. Ladies, help me. Make sure you answer every line. Let's get the message out to everybody we can, and let's try to help everybody that we can possibly help. Well, please share scripture that tells salvation is knowing him. Salvation is knowing him. Well, the book of John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. There is no other way to get into heaven but to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Do you understand what this world is facing? Do you understand? People just don't understand how dark it's going to be. Very few people have any concept of what the devil does now, much less what he's going to do in the very near future. I mean, we're talking about a dark day, unlike anything humankind has ever known about. Now, remember, I'm preaching in the morning on Calvary overshadowing Adam's generation. Calvary overshadowing Adam's generation. I can't wait to preach about Calvary in the book of Genesis, especially in the book of Genesis. What a day that is truly going to be, friend. I don't want you to miss it. I would love for you to hear that sermon tomorrow. I really would. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Actually, Reverend Chambers, just three quick things. Obama is turning the world over to Russia. He's cutting our military in half.
Obama is really a joke, isn't he?
No, he's doing this purposefully. He wants America put in its place.
Yes, he does. I believe what you're saying is right. I really do. It's the darkest thing I've ever seen is what this man has been allowed to do. I don't understand why the Senate and the House of Representatives don't stop him. I do not understand. They're up against such a media blitz and such a darkness. I presume they're just scared. I think the only thing we can say for the politicians across America now is they've been scared out of their wits, and they don't have a courage for nothing, almost for nobody. There's a few good ones. Thank God for those few. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Hey, call us quickly. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Now, let me go over what we've been talking about. Please understand now that blindness, spiritual blindness, has gripped our world. You see it everywhere. You try to tell people the truth, and they look at you like you're crazy. It is a blind world. It is a blind world. If you do not see the apostasy that's out there today, then you've been deceived. If you don't understand what's happened to the churches, you don't understand about churches like Elevation and all of these liberal outfits that are nothing but rock concerts, and you don't see what's wrong with that, it looks all entertaining and good to you, it's because you're blind. Apostasy has overwhelmed you. The majority of our world, the majority of the American church is so blind, they will never see the truth and they will never turn around. I'm telling you right now, the majority of the church world is so blind and so deceived that they will never see the truth. And there'll be a few. There'll be a few in these places that will say, wow, I believe that's wrong. I got to get back to a Bible-believing church. I got to go somewhere where they preach the truth. And there's a few. I'm praying for a Holy Ghost revival with all my heart. There's nothing I want like I want a Holy Ghost revival. But I'm telling you, friend, very few Christians are going to see what's going on. And very few understand anything about the devil and how the devil operates. And so he's just taken over their life, and they have no resistance. They have nothing to defend themselves with. They don't know anything to do. We've had a lot of calls today by somebody that's just hanging up. Now, I'm going to be watching that. Today's the first day of the month, and I can catch them. And if it's the same person, we're going to turn them over to the authority, okay? I promise you we will do that. We are more than willing. And starting next week, we'll have identification of everybody that calls. And we can look at our phones, and we can see the number they and those who keep calling over and over and hanging up, we'll be able to identify them. And we will, I promise you, we'll stop that. We will do our best. But we'll love them. We'll forgive them if they ask and turn to God, because we're here to win souls to Calvary. I'm telling you, if you're not saved today, if you're not saved, I wish you'd turn to Christ right now, even before this broadcast is over. I got a minute and a half to lead you to the cross. Are you ready? Are you ready to turn over to Christ your whole life and give him all that you are? Father, I pray for every person listening to me that right now, today, right now, they will turn their life over to Christ. They'll go get them a Bible and be in a great church tomorrow where the old-fashioned gospel is preached and get ready to serve God. I pray for that, Father, of every person listening to me. You on the air. I've got a few seconds. May I help you?
Hey, Reverend Joe.
Yes, quickly.
Thank you very much for your ministry and what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
But my thing is, what I really want to ask you is, why do you think there's such a assault on preaching of the rapture today?
Because the devil hates the rapture, sir. That just shows you how right it is when you understand the devil is assaulting it.
It just seems like it's just such a...
It's a lost gospel. It's a lost message. I got to go. I love you. Hang on there. Let the ladies give you our gift today, okay? Hang on. Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming, and he's coming any moment now. If you're not ready to go, you need to get ready. Hey, don't miss the program next week. We've really enjoyed bringing you the message of these four horsemen of Revelation 6. Don't you mess around. Live right. Live for Christ. Give it all to him. Serve him with everything in you. Remember to call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, toll free, 1-800-338-7884. I love you. I love you.
Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried,
cried holy, friend, cried holy.
I cried holy.